Welcome to the Anthem Church Podcast. Our desire is to transform lives through authentic experiences with God and with people. This message is brought to you from Anthem Church in Fairview, Oregon. We pray you are encouraged, inspired, and strengthened through the teaching and preaching of God's Word.
You know, we started a brand new series called Life After Death. Super excited about this series because we're gonna spend the next 3 weeks talking about eternity. Somebody say eternity. Simply, the question we want to try to answer this month is, what happens after we die? And so here's the deal about this series: in order for us to truly answer that question, you know, for us to really answer that question, you know, in full, you got to come back next week. You got to come back the week after. Because we're going to answer that question in steps. So you have to make a commitment today. I'm going to be here next week, okay? I'm going to be here next in the week after. And I know it's Father's Day, because a lot of, well, Dad, what do you want to do today, Dad? Oh, I'll just sleep in. No, don't do that. Don't sleep in. Be here next week. All right, we want to celebrate the dads, all right? And the youth is going to be running service, so that's going to be fun. So get here, because we're going to answer that question. We're going to answer that question in steps, step by step. All right, so you got to make a commitment. This week I'm going to enter the series. Next week I'm going to talk about heaven. Week after I'm going to talk about hell. There's a lot of questions on hell. And I want to encourage you to invite your friends. I want to encourage you to invite your family, Christians or non-Christian. I know everyone has questions on heaven, questions on eternity. So we're going to just open up the Bible and we're going to look at what Jesus said. Jesus says about eternity. And what the Bible says about that. And we need to know, well, P.S., I'm not really trying to think about that right now. What you need to know is that eternity is now. Eternity is a reality. Well, P.S., I'm not really trying to think about it. I'm trying to think about right now. You know, I'm trying to think about right now. Well, right now, there's angels. Fly by their wings. I don't know. Sorry. I don't know. We'll talk about angels one day. But I believe that this series is going to impact your life. It's going to impact your friend's life. It's going to impact your family's life. And so make sure you make a commitment to be here. Amen? So with anything, we're going to talk today. If you have your title, your notes on your in front of you, just call today, what happens next? Or what happens after? I never get my titles right. What happens after? What happens after? I got it right last service. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I'm just so grateful to be part of a church that has fun, that we have fun, because you're here. And wherever you are, God, we can enjoy it. And so today, will you teach us about eternity? Show us what really matters. Get our minds on eternity, because we know that when we think about eternity, when we think about the afterlife, it changes everything. So Father, would you teach us, guide us today in the name of Jesus? Everybody in the building says, amen and amen. All right, so quick, you know, as we intro this series, just want to give you a quick news flash. News flash. Somebody say news flash. News flash. No matter your age, no matter your race, no matter your economic status, your popularity, you know, or what you know, or who you know, or what you don't know, or who you don't know, what we all have in common that is inevitable for everybody is simply this: all of us is gonna die. We're all going to die. Let's pray. They're having fun. Just kidding. It's true. Turn and never say, you're going to die one day. So morbid. So morbid, Pastor Stephen. You're a pastor. Encourage me. No, you're going to die. We're going to die one day. It's just no big deal. You're going to die. One day you will die. The thing is, we don't think about this very often. The only time we really think about death or that thought is when something tragic happens, or when we go to a friend's funeral or a family member's funeral. We don't think about it often, but that's the moment when we think about it. See, we don't know when we're gonna die one day, but one day it's gonna happen. Now, there's no quota that we get, right? There's no quota that we get. Some get 90 years, Some get 80, some get 50 years, some get 20, some get 10, some get less than one. But at some point, we are going to close our eyes to this life and open it up to the next. See, it doesn't matter what particular path you choose to follow. We all know, and we can all come to an agreement, is that death is a reality. In fact, if you're not a Christian in this room today, thank you for coming to church. We always say here, listen, you belong, right? You own the right to call this place home as much as the person who's been here for 30 years. So welcome home. But if you're not a Christian today, and again, thank you for coming, we have to all agree on one thing, that we are all going to die. There's nothing we can ever do to stop it. Now, we could try our hardest. We can eat organic, right? Any organic eaters today? Okay, we can eat organic, right? We can work out every day, right? You can do yoga or hot yoga, which is equivalent to hell. I don't know. You could do refit on Thursday, 7 o'clock in the ballroom. Hello. That's a little plug. Seriously, 7 o'clock Thursdays, refit. Ah, that's Tybo. For some reason when I do workout, I do Tybo. Billy Blank status. Right, we could try it. We could do all of that stuff. All great, be healthy, live long, enjoy life, but at the end of the day, you're going to die. The question that we want to try to answer this month is, what happens after we die? See, every religion has something different that they believe about, that, you know, what happens when you die. Buddhism, they have the Eightfold Path, you live this life, and then you cease to exist. Hinduism, you live this life, you die, and you get to come back and do it all over again. I don't want to do that again. I love my life, but man, just that's a whole nother world. Like, Muslims believe that you die and you appear before Allah and you are judged based on your works and what you did good on earth. Christians, followers of Jesus, we believe that when you die, we step into eternity and you go to a place called heaven or the other place. But what I want to do today is focus on what really matters, and what really matters is some really, really, really good news. Let me say it again. I want to focus on what really matters, and what really matters is some really, really, really good news. So I look at the book of 2 Corinthians, and we'll kind of camp in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read 1 through 8. But first, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is written by a guy who started off life persecuting Christians. It was Paul. He encounters Jesus. He becomes a Christian, and he begins to plant life-giving churches all over the world, right? And as the churches began to grow, right, they all had questions. So they wrote letters to Paul, and Paul answered back with these letters. And most of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians are letters sent back by Paul answering questions that a lot of people in the city of Corinth had. And so one of those questions that was sent to Paul, and Paul is sending back, was, where do people go after they die? And so Paul addresses this question in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's read verse 1. It says, for we know. Somebody say, for we know. You might want to circle those three words. Highlight it, lick it, whatever you got to do. Those are some important words. And if you licked it, you will remember the day. I just licked my Bible. That's just weird. It's weird. Week before Father's Day, I just licked it. Okay. For we know. Somebody say, for we know. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God and an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. So let's stop there for a second. Paul is writing this to believers in Corinth, and he's saying this. He said, this is something we know, not something we hope for, not something we hope will happen, not something that we think will happen, you know, maybe. No, Paul is saying, everything I'm about to tell you about eternity is something as followers of Jesus, we can know, that we can have confidence in, right? In verse 1, it continues, is that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed. Now, let's stop there for a second. Somebody say, earthly tent. Okay, that's just a symbol. It's a symbol of our bodies. Us, you and I are tents, right? Now, why does this illustration symbolize us as tents? Because tents are temporary. Tents do not exist forever. If there was anything that Paul knew about, the ins and outs of any subject would be tents. Because Paul was a tent maker. It was his profession. It was his day job. He made tents for a living. So he just put two and two together. See, when I go camping, which I hate camping. I do. Someone's like, well, Pastor Stephen, you should go camping with me. No, you can go camping on your own. I'm not going camping with you. Like, do not send me an email. I will not read it. If I see the word, nope. I don't. So you better, if you're going to email me, don't put CA in any of that email. That's terrible. You're so shallow, P.S. Don't judge me. I don't like camping because four times I went camping. Four times. Sprained both my ankles. Don't ask me how. Poison ivy. Almost drowned. I did. Don't. Y'all, it's so judgmental. Ugh. I got sick four times. And I got so sick, I slept in the car for 3 days. It was horrible. Well, go on the fifth. Why don't you go the fifth time? Because don't you see the pattern? You, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five is the numerical for horrible. I don't like camping. I just don't. Nothing else to it. But when you put up a tent, it doesn't stay up, right? The goal isn't to go camping for the next 90 years. It's not the goal. If it is, no, I'm sorry. If it is, and that's what you do, to each his own. Weird, but it's fine. But no one sets up a tent, pitches a tent. That was close. That was real close. No one puts up a tent for 90 years. There are buildings and houses and structures that have been up for hundreds of years. I went to Mexico years ago and witnessed pyramid structures in Chichen Itza that have been up for hundreds of years. No one has ever seen a tent up for that long. More than a week. No one's seen that. Why? Because tents are temporary and they don't last forever. We are like tents. Side note, which is even more important to love each other, to care about each other, to forgive one another, because we don't have each other for very long. Amen. You don't have the person next. I mean, so more important to turn to your neighbor today and say, I love you. Oh, if people actually did that. Forgive one. And then do what matters the most, the things that touch eternity. And this is important because we're like tents. We're temporary. Paul continues, says, for this we know, that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God and an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. The last phrase is so encouraging because, yes, like tents, our lives are temporary, but as Christians, you have a home in heaven built by the perfect hands of God, not human hands. Because no matter how good the builder is, human hands are still imperfect. Human hands still mess stuff up. You know, me and my wife, we bought our home years ago. LV was pregnant with our first child, Mika, and we were so excited about our new home, and we knew that we were just in a life of transition, and we were excited because, you know, Mika was about to be born, and then we were about to buy this home, and we found the perfect home just for our little family. It wasn't extravagant. It was perfect for our little growing family. So we finally bought the home, and we bought the home. We moved in, and Mika was born shortly after. In November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. 90 degrees. I was like, well, you know, let me just go ahead and turn on the AC, right? So I went ahead and turned on the AC, and it was like, I was like, what was that? It sounded like it blew up. So I went outside to the AC unit, and it literally looked like our AC unit blew up. So I called the guy. I was like, hey, handyman, hey, can you fix our AC? He was like, oh, yeah, we can fix it. So he went out there, looked at it, and he goes, man, looks like your AC blew up. I was like, yeah. Can you fix it? He goes, yeah, we can fix it, but who built the house? I said, forget the house, the AC. He goes, no, who built this house? I said, I don't know, John Smith from Cleveland? I don't know. Fix the AC. He goes, well, your AC didn't blow up. Somebody came and stole a piece from your AC so that when you turn it on, then it blew up. I was like, oh, gosh, that's terrible. He goes, whoever built your house put the AC unit on the wrong side of the fence. Why would they do that? I'm like, I don't know. Can you fix it? He goes, yeah, I can fix it. Here, what I'll do is I'll just move the AC on the right side of the fence so that nobody will do that again. I was like, yeah, ding, 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 great job. And I thought to myself, who did build this thing? Right? Nice house, but they messed up. You can have a good house, but even the best of the best will fall apart eventually because it's built with human hands. But Paul tells us that God has made a place called heaven, and it's perfect. Now, we can speculate about what heaven is like, but we'll never really know because we've never been to a place like it. And some of you are like, Disneyland. No. Heaven, Disneyland. I understand. I get it. But we don't really know. But what we do know is that it's better than we've ever experienced and we could ever imagine. Our minds can't even wrap around the brilliance and perfection that heaven is. Here's why. Because everything we've seen and we've touched has been built with human hands. Everything built by God is perfect. I'm pumped about this thought because I have a friend, and I shared a little bit about my friend who lost his life early at a young age. He was murdered, and I have hope because my friend was a catalyst in me coming to Jesus. He was the first person to invite me to church. He was the first person to share his faith with me, but he lost his life through a senseless murder, and I attended his funeral. My friend is with Jesus. He lost his earthly tent early, but received an eternal home in heaven. And I can celebrate. Here's the reason why I can celebrate, because I know where he's at, and it gives me hope for this life. That no matter what this life gives me or the card that it hands, it reminds me where I get to go when it all ends. And my friend is not there because of anything he did. He's there because of everything that Jesus did for him. Took him from a tent to a permanent home with Jesus. Now, it's comforting. It's comforting as a follower of Jesus to know that when someone closes their eyes to this life and opens up to the next, they're not stepping into some obscure place, some far-off place, but a place beyond our imagination, not built by human hands, but built by the hands of a perfect God. Write this down on your piece of papers. We get heaven. It's not because of anything we've done or are going to do, but because of everything Jesus has done. He bridged the gap between us and God, amen? He loved us so much that he died, he took our sins and died on the cross for our mess. He was buried. He rose again so that we can have victory in this present life over things that overwhelm us, tempt us, tries to destroy us. Amen. See, we're in a temporary tent now, but when we die, we get heaven that is eternal and is perfect, all because of Jesus. Amen. Look what he continues. He says, meanwhile, we groan. Somebody say, somebody say, come on, y'all acting so cool in here. Somebody say, okay, there it is. Okay, listen. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan in our burden. And let's stop there for a second. Now, how many of us can relate? Okay, listen, I'm turning 37 on the 16th of this month. Gift cards and tennis shoes. I remember. Someone's like, I heard you. Somebody, I knew he was going to say something like that. Shoes. Nikes and Jordans. When I was 15 and 16 years old, when I saw a 37-year-old, no offense, I said, he old? I'm about to be 37 next week. So if I saw my 16-year-old self, I know what I would have told me. You old. And I would kick my old self, my young self. But now that I'm 36 and turning 37, I don't think that's really old at all, honestly. I'm still young. Hello. I still cross over a 16-year-old. What's up? Bring it. Bring it. Right? But even though I believe I'm not old, my tent is wearing down. For example, 9 years ago, I obliterated my ankle playing flag football. Actually, no, Pastor Jeffrey obliterated my ankle playing flag football. Flag football, not tackle football, flag football. Our worship pastor hit me so hard, I thought I was 16 again. He was like, bow. I was like, hey, guys, what's up, guys? It was just, I don't even know what the, he hit me so hard, I woke up the next Thursday. Like, it was. I obliterated my left ankle. 2 years after that, I dislocated and fractured the same one. A year later, same injury, different ankle. 1 year after, in that gym over there, I crossed this guy over, faded away, hit a jumper, and I fell on his ankle. And I just blew up my left ankle. It was terrible. And so I go to the doctor. You guys remember that day I had like a cast? You guys remember that? Okay, I was just like, hey guys, you know, it was weird. And so I go in and the doctor tells me, you need to slow down on the hoop court because you've torn so many ligaments in your left ankle, you are acquiring some bone spurs, and now it's just bone on bone rubbing on each other. Yeah, it don't stop me from playing basketball though. Listen, what's happening? What's happening? At 36 years old, I'm groaning. My tent is wearing down. I remember at 33 years old, I go into the doctor for a routine checkup. First time my doctor hit me with something I've never heard before. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. He said, Stephen, you're 33 now. Have you got your prostate checked? Whoa! Huh? Have you got your prostate checked? It's due. What's that? And then he explained it to me. I said, I'll wait. I'll wait. I'll wait. I will wait. I didn't, but that's weird. I shouldn't even said that part. Okay. You getting visuals? You getting visuals? Okay. All right. Why are y'all cheering? That's the worst thing that ever happened. He started explaining to me. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Dinner first? I'm just kidding. All right, let me. I'm sorry. Holy Spirit just left. Come back, Jesus. Jesus, come back, Jesus. Come on back. Come on. All right, listen. All right, Lord Jesus, help us. All right. What's happening? My tent's wearing down. Any Blazer fans in the room today? Don't cheer. He's going to go down as one of the greatest Blazers ever. But he blew his knee out. And they said his bone was rubbing against bone, so he had to retire. What happened? His tent was wearing down. I don't care how good he was, how great he was. Your tent runs down, it wears down. How many can relate? See, it's not just physically, but it's emotionally too. Many of us have gone through some traumatic experiences over and over again that has worn you down, has worn down your emotions. And you're just doing your godly best to follow Jesus and trust again. What's happening? Your tent is wearing down. There are people in this room right now where you're worn down emotionally and you feel like you're dead inside. Hello, lights turn on? Fair enough. Right? Can you guys see me? There are people in this room today, listen up. There are people in this room today where you are so worn down emotionally that you feel like you're dead inside. What's happening? Your earthly tent, physically and emotionally, is wearing down. And because of that, we groan. Life is fragile. We go through life and we're all reminded, write this down, that eternity is a reality. I know as I get older, I stop thinking about what am I going to do with my life and start thinking about how much time do I have left. Because the life I live, I know is important, but it's fragile and it's temporary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 4, he continues, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. I love this. In other words, as followers of Jesus, what is mortal, our tent, is swallowed up, watch this, not by death, but by life. This is huge, meaning God has something so amazing for us that I believe that he wants us to know. Think about this. Have you noticed that there is nothing on this earth that can ever satisfy your soul? There are things that can satisfy us for a moment, but not permanently. We know those things in this world that are temporary. Things that are sinful, maybe not sinful. As we chase those things, it only leaves us more empty. You know, those things that they don't provide for us a permanent satisfaction. Because why? They are temporary. Which means we are created. Have you ever wondered how come that doesn't satisfy my soul? It's because we are created not for what this world offers, which is temporary, but that which God offers, that which is eternal. Well, Pastor Stephen, I don't know why I feel so empty. Things that I do always leave me more empty. Because what you need is eternal, and his name is Jesus. See, emptiness leads to more emptiness. Death leads to more death. Life, though, life only leads to more life. And so Paul is saying, listen, as Christians, when we die, we don't die again. When we die, we live again. Because when we die, the tent that you think you own is swallowed up by life. Verse 5, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God. He's talking about eternity, what we're made for, eternal purposes. Who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, thank you, Jesus, guaranteeing what is to come. So what is he saying? God creates us to be eternal, which means when we die, we will spend, whether you believe it or not, we will spend eternity somewhere. We'll talk about that in the next 2 weeks. But as followers of Jesus, God has given us a Spirit to help us live our life. We don't have to worry in fear and death, have to worry about the fear of death or about where am I going to go when I die. What happens? We have hope now, knowing that death doesn't swallow us up, but life does. Verse 6, therefore, we are always confident. There it is. We are always confident and know. Now, if you're following along, you'll notice that Paul repeats three words in this letter, groanings, tent, and confidence. Remember verse 1? Right? How'd that verse kick off? For this we know, because he's about to end this letter with some amazing news. Verse 6, that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say. There it is again. We are confident and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. In other words, if we are not in our tent, then we are in a permanent place in eternity. There it is again. This is great news for followers of Jesus. Why? Because we can have confidence that when we die, we will be with Jesus. Well, Pastor, I get it. Okay, I get it. All right, I get it. But how do we know? You know what I'm saying? I know it's, okay, how do we know? Great example. I love college football. Anybody love college football? Yeah. I love college football. In fact, I love a team. They put a big O on their helmet, maybe sometimes something else. They wear green and yellow and black and silver and sometimes pink. They wore orange last year. It was weird. They wear a lot. They wear the rainbow. They just wear everything. Go Ducks. I love it. But I don't love football because of the Ducks. I love football because I love football. I'm a purist. I love watching football. I'll watch football all day, every day if I had to. I love it. And so I thought to myself, what was like the worst defeat in the history of football? Like the worst. And so I did my research. Basically, I Googled worst loss ever. And this popped up. Okay. Georgia Tech versus Cumberland College. Cumberland got destroyed. Somebody say destroyed. 222 to donut. 222 to Fruit Loop. 222 Cheerio. They got destroyed. Georgia Tech gained 1,091 yards. You're like, well, that's not a lot. Just running the ball. They did not attempt a throw. They said, we're coming, we're going that direction. Stop us. Touchdown. Yeah, this is a true story. Cumberland. You know how many yards they gained? You would think zero. Nah, negative 191 yards. Can you imagine this moment? At halftime, it was 126 to zero. Halftime, beep, team walked in, and coach is like, hey guys, all right, we are down 126 points, but you know what? Gotta have faith in yourself, team. Put that helmet on, and you represent Cumberland College. Best you can. Come on, team, let's do this. And you can only imagine the team was like, coach, have you seen the score? We're getting hammered. We don't even have enough time to even score 7 points. We're horrible. You suit up and you play. I can only imagine. Can you imagine, Deshaun, can you imagine the halftime, the locker room right now? 126 points. That's Georgia Tech opened a can of butt whooping. Let's just be honest. We can all agree that this is the worst defeat ever. And we know that every scoreboard tells a story. And this one tells a huge story. Now listen, as Christians, did you know you have a scoreboard as well? And this scoreboard tells a story of the greatest butt whooping that ever existed. And that scoreboard looks like this. This is an empty tomb. It's a tomb they believe they put Jesus in after they crucified him. After they put him in, 3 days later, he came back to life. This is our scoreboard. It tells a story. And it reminds us that we don't have to put our faith in things that are temporary, but faith in things that are eternal. Faith in the one who punched death in the face for us and offers eternity in heaven. Jesus, come on. See, Jesus didn't just teach about death. He didn't just write a book about it. No, he faced death. He didn't dodge it. He didn't duck it. He didn't walk. He walked through it. Come on. And not only did he walk through it, he rose again. And because he did that, as followers of Jesus, here's the good news. As followers of Jesus, this is why we can have complete, unwavering confidence, because the scoreboard says empty tomb, and that can never be changed. We can talk about this until we are blue in the face. And while we can even have moments to fear death, we have a Savior that walked through it. So my question for you today is, do you know him? Do you know the one that punched death in the face? Hebrews 2 says, since the children, we're going to close on this, since the children have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, too, shared in the humanity that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those, look at this, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by what? By their fear of death. See, there is comfort that comes to a Christian, to a follower of Jesus that knows where they're going to spend eternity. Because the tomb is empty. We won't be swallowed up by death. Our future is a future that won't fall apart, all because of what Jesus did. See, eternity, you need to write this down somewhere. Eternity is not something we hope for, it's not something we wish for, but it's something that we already have. Because if you've invited Jesus Christ in your life to lead, to love, and to lead you as Lord, you're not striving for eternity, you're not reaching for eternity, you're not working for eternity. You have eternity. And there are people in this room today where you've prayed and you've been saying, God, I just wish heaven was in my home. I just wish, no, just walk into your home. Just walk into your home. I need heaven on earth. Yeah, he's in you. God, I've just been praying for heaven to fall, just to come, just to fall down so I can have an experience. No. He's in you, Jesus. Maybe all your life you've wondered, is there something that doesn't fall apart? Everything's just falling apart all around me. Maybe all your life you've wondered, where am I gonna go after I die? Maybe all your life you asked, is there even a point? Is there a destination to this life? Maybe you've tried everything, and all your life you've asked the question, is there more to life? Maybe you're here, and you're just empty. Just empty. I'm here to tell you that there is more. And his name is Jesus. He is hope. He is grace. He is life. He is love. And he offers all of that freely. You gotta work for it. He just offers it. John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life that swallows us up. Come on. No man comes to the Father except through me. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life, and even more, life more abundantly. And today, if you're empty, if you're here and you're empty, and you don't know where you're gonna spend eternity, you can receive him in your life and have assurance and confidence of where you will be, and that is with Jesus when it's all said and done. Because you have two options. Either death destroys you, or Jesus destroys death for you. You have two options when you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you get ready for your day. It's either death destroys you, or Jesus destroys death for you. So if you're here today and you're a Christian, this is something we can celebrate. We can celebrate, and we're going to do that in just a moment. After we get done preaching, we're going to stand and we're going to celebrate eternity with Jesus. We get that. If you're here today, you're a Christian, you say, yeah, we can celebrate that. You have confidence knowing where you're going to be when you die. Because we don't fear it. We know it's a reality, but we also know that we get to be with Jesus. And because of this confidence, and listen, I gotta lean on you Christians for a little bit. Because of this confidence, because of this assurance, you have a responsibility now. You have a responsibility never to live this life and celebrate the confidence of eternity by yourself. The responsibility is to leave here today to share the hope of Jesus Christ, because you have eternity. What does it look like if we have the cure? If we have the cure to death and life, to death, and to walk about and encounter people who don't know Jesus and then go home and come to church and celebrate. What does that look like? It looks like the story of the person who hid their talent under the dirt. Jesus calls them wicked. I'll even go as far as saying this. If we don't share our eternity, if we don't share Jesus and life abundantly, I will question if that's really eternity at all. Because if it is to eternity, you have it. It moves you. It moves you. It fills you with joy. It moves you to do something. It moved Jesus to the cross. It moves you. Amen. So if you know, if you have confidence, I got confidence, I'm a Christian. Okay, we have a responsibility now to invite others to Jesus, to bring them home. And if you don't know where you're going to go, I want to offer you this hope in Jesus. And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor Stephen, listen, I've never invited Jesus Christ in my heart. And you can say, I am experiencing right now that emptiness. I've tried to fill things in that God-shaped hole, in that hole in my heart with things, and it just leaves me more empty and more thirsty and more hungry and more dry. What do I need? You need Jesus. And when you invite him in your heart, you too can have confidence of eternity with Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We are located at 1415 Northeast 223rd Avenue in Fairview, Oregon. You can find us online at www.anthemfamily.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at My Anthem Family. God bless.